Woodshed, evolutionarily engaging in counter-propaganda tactics and related work with Hal Anthony. We also have It's All Connected with Grimnir and Circle. They connect all the dots. The subject doesn't matter. The connections are real and tangible. Also, we have Free Your Mind with Grimnir and Moose Girl. You can break from thought constraints on the scope of your vision only by realizing those limits that have been presented to you do not apply to you. They are not real. Those concepts make people feel comfortable by giving them thought boundaries. This is the Free Your Mind show with Moose Girl and Grimnir. Sit back and listen and see your way beyond the world as it has been defined. We have A Pondergander with Vinny to think and reason, raising expectations through thought-provoking episodes. If you cannot do great things, do small things in a great way. On Sundays, you can sit back and relax and enjoy some music from Grimnir. He broadcasts the Sunday Blues Show live on Sundays from noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. He plays all kinds of blues, from great oldies like Robert Johnson, Howlin' Wolf, and John Lee Hooker, to the most modern hard-rocking blues from Joe Bonamassa, Poppy Chubby, and Samantha Fish, and all the stuff between, like Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jack Bach Project, and Gary Moore. He also plays blues music from classic rock bands, the Rolling Stones, ZZ Top, and Cream. And while he's playing the music, we are in the Real Liberty Media chat on irc.freenode.net playing a rousing game of trivia. So come on over and join us every Sunday for some great tunes, fun trivia, and great chat. We also have a show, The Top 10 Countdown. Gary L. and Gigi's Boo play the top 10 songs from years gone by, and they provide some interesting historical facts and trivia about the songs and the era. These are all great shows with great content and inspiring messages. Come spend some time with us. Get to know us, and we will get to know you. Also, if you love what you hear and want to represent, we have Real Liberty Media gear. You will love the artwork, and it will inspire conversation. Check out our Amazon.com store and Real Liberty Media goods from our website, reallibertymedia.com. This is Doc Mike, the redneck dentist here on Real Liberty Media. I just made it, I think. I had to get my act together real quick. Hey, I'm going to be quiet a minute and see if my air conditioner is triggering the mic. So hang on just one sec. No, it looks pretty quiet. Okay, good, because it is freaking toasty warm here in Oregon today. We're not really used to that so early in the year, but so it is. Anyway, hey, Tuesday night, June 1st, we're doing a live show. Good, don't hear the AC, that's awesome. I am going to talk about a few things I've been wanting to get off the list today. I mean, for weeks, I guess. I've been trying to get these things talked about a little bit, but I ran into a few new things, but I kind of want to talk about this one thing this weekend. This is more personal, And it, trust me, I'm going to tell you, it sucks, and it really sucks. So, and I don't know really why I'm going to tell you this story, but it probably falls under that title of no good deed goes unpunished. So this is what happened about 6 months ago. My wife and I were approached by the next door neighbors and asked if it would be possible for us to consider loaning our motorhome to some people that were homeless, a mom and her two kids. And I don't know if this male was in the picture at the time or not. I think we were under the impression it was just a mom and her two kids. And I don't know what the whole story was. My wife really handled the whole thing. But this is what happened. So they lived in our motorhome in this, man, this might be adult content hour on the Redneck Dennis Show. I'll try and keep it clean. I really do try and keep the language clean. I don't know why. I just do. But, oh, there's going to be no way I'm going to keep this language clean on this story because it involves shit and a lot of it. So, yeah, exactly. Redneck Dentist After Dark. No kidding. It could go that way. Okay, so here's the story. You guys wouldn't know this, but I was a little bit flustered today thinking about doing this show because usually, you know, I do some show prep. I kind of get ready. When you're doing a show by yourself, it's kind of different because you have to entertain for 60 minutes. At least I always hope it's somewhat entertaining or educational or helpful in some way. But so I had some stuff in my stack that I wanted to go through. But usually, so I would have done, of course, with Monday being a holiday, I would have done some show prep on Sunday and Monday. And, you know, I'd be really ready for today. But this is actually what happened. So we agreed to loan out our motorhome. And, it's a nice one. It's not a great motorhome. It's decent. It's 32 feet long. It's got a Ford Triton V10 engine in it, gas, which is too bad. I wish it was diesel. It's got two slide outs, one for the living room, one for the master bedroom. You know, it's nice. I mean, it's nice enough. I bought it when I retired from the federal government because I thought I would be working in some clinics that weren't at home, and then I could just live in the RV, you know, go to work for the week, and then come home on the weekend or whatever. And my wife and I did like to travel, and we like to hunt, and we like to camp. Of course, when you're in an RV, you don't really call it camping. It's not anything close to camping, but it's real convenient. Okay, I got to quit babbling and get to the bottom of the story. So we loaned the RV out to this mom and her two kids who were homeless, and our neighbors are, they're churchgoers. They're not Christians. They're churchgoers. And not that I didn't mean anything bad by that, and they're just people trying to help other people. So they approached us, asked us if we could loan out our RV. And we said sure. Well, we didn't really say sure. I think my wife went through a bunch of questioning and kind of setting up a contract and all this stuff. And then, yeah, we took the RV over to this shithole of a frickin' RV park. But that's where these people could afford to pay for a space, and they'd been paying for a space for about 4 months, and they didn't have anything to live in. So we took our RV over there. Okay. So, now y'all don't know this, but my wife is like really detailed. I was actually going to say, like, I was going to make a general statement that I think women should be engineers. And this is why I think that. I don't know if you've ever had an engineer as a friend, but if you ever have the chance to have an engineer as a friend, don't take it. And I'll tell you why. Because engineers love engineering. And they will over-engineer the simplest stuff. But my wife is sort of like that, like really detailed and always trying to figure out a way to, right, Moose Girl. She always makes sure, you know, people are going to understand exactly what they're supposed to do. So when we delivered the motorhome, my wife literally took these people through every single system. And I am not kidding about that. Every single system on the motorhome. And I was with her, and I was listening to her, and I was really bored. I was like, oh my God, why are you telling them all this stuff? But my wife wanted to make sure that they understood how to use the motorhome. They weren't driving it anywhere. Neither one of them could drive. One of them was blind, and the other one, he turns out is on parole, and I don't know, language barriers or something. He didn't have a driver's license, all that stuff, so he couldn't drive. And the thing is kind of gigantic. It's 32 feet long, and it's tall, big motorhome, right? So they weren't going to drive it, but they needed to know how to live in it, you know. And living in it requires that you know certain things, like how the Arctic pack works, how the generator works, how you get fresh water to come out of the faucets. If you lose power, how do you power up everything? How to handle your sewage tank. You know, how you live, you know, with increased sanitation under kind of circumstances that really aren't meant to be permanent, I don't think. Although I know a lot of people who do live in their RVs. But hey, you might get to hear Bear bark here. He's somebody knocked or something. No, he's being good, but you might hear him bark. That's okay. Anyway, so my wife went through every single one of these systems, right? And these people kept saying that they understood that they used to live in a trailer, that they, you know, all this isn't new to them, blah, 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 right? And not only that, but the guy who... the couple who approached us about this, he is a driver, a pilot driver. You know, he pilots oversized trucks, rigs. And he's kind of an engineer, too. I mean, this dude has every tool known to man in his little Subaru or whatever it is. And, you know, he's a fixer. Like, he could fix anything on the spot. Like, you know, just, like, open up the back end of his whatever kind of car that is and set up a drill press and, you know, whatever. Right, right, Grimner, you are so right about this. Anyway, so that guy said to us, his name's Doug, by the way. He said to us, I'm going over there once a week anyway, because he was, I was going to say witnessing to these people, but that's not it. He was trying to take them through whatever classes Jehovah's Witness do, okay, because they're Jehovah's Witness. And he was like, whatever, preaching to the guy or teaching the guy or whatever. So, and he said to us, I'm going to be over there at least once a week. I'll make sure, you know, that everything is fine and that they're doing everything they're supposed to do. And we're like, okay, that'd be awesome, because we don't want to go over there really, which that was a mistake. We should have made it a point to go over there once a week, because what I'm going to tell you, well, most of this damage could have been prevented after maybe 1 week, easily. So they call us about 2 weeks ago, and they said, hey, we got a fifth wheel, our own. We're going to be moving it in here. So, you know, we're done with the RV. You know, let's arrange a time for you guys to pick it up. So we were like, okay, well, you know, well, like I do a show on Saturday at, you know, 5 o'clock Eastern, and, you know, Memorial Day weekend was coming up, and, you know, we had to coordinate some schedules. Like, she works on the weekends from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. or something, and he works during the week. So we just had to coordinate some stuff. Anyway, Saturday, we go to pick up our RV. And the day before, I think 2 days before, so that would have been Thursday. Yeah, I just had a little blackout because, brain fart, because I was thinking, oh yeah, this was right before my show on Saturday. Okay, so we go to pick up the, on Thursday, they said that the RV wouldn't start, and Doug, the guy next door, you know, the guy who kind of helped set up this whole arrangement, he said he would go over and make sure it started. But I already knew that if the engine didn't start, that the generator hadn't been started either. Because when you start either the engine or the generator, it charges the truck battery and the house batteries. So I already kind of had a feeling that we were walking into, you know, dead batteries, which is no big deal. I brought jumper cables. I brought this little jumper device I have. Anyway, we show up. Sure enough, the engine is running. That's cool. But the second we stepped into the RV, actually before you got into the RV, you could literally smell shit. Like, you know, boiling, nasty sewage. And, you know, it was kind of one of those kind of parks. I don't know if you guys are having this issue where you live, but like here in Oregon, we have like a bajillion homeless people. Even in this little town of Sheridan, between here and Willamina, the next town that's 8 miles away, there's a crap ton of people that are homeless and living in RVs and tents and trailers and campers and cars, and they just park like wherever. Well, this kind of area was sort of like that, but it actually did have, or does have, like a shower and restroom, a public shower and restroom. But anyway, so I mean, it wasn't that unusual initially for me to think that the place smelled like sewage. But when I went into the RV, number one, like it was overwhelming, like unbelievably strong sewage smell. And as we kind of walked through, kind of doing a walkthrough, you know, to identify any damage that was done or whatever, as you kind of got close to the bathroom, which is kind of midship in the RV, the floor was sagging. Like when you stepped on it, it was spongy. And I was like, oh God, I wonder what that is, you know. So we look in the toilet. I'm kind of skipping a bunch of steps here. There was a bunch of other stuff wrong. Well, number one, I tried to start the generator and it wouldn't start. And I couldn't move the RV because the jacks were down. And in order to put the jacks up, I needed power, and I didn't have any power to the jacks. So I tried several times to start the generator, and you could tell it was dead battery. You'd just hear that clack, 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 you know, instead of a starting sound. And of course, I'm getting more pissed off by the minute, just like going through the RV and seeing everything that had been damaged. Well, we go in the bathroom, and there's water in the toilet bowl, but it wasn't clean water. It was dirty sewage water. And so for any of you who have had a black tank, you know, on your vehicle, whether it be an RV or a camper or a trailer or whatever, you know that you're not supposed to have, like, sewer water up in your toilet. And we start talking to the guy, you know, about the toilet. And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, yeah, shit doesn't go down in there. And we're like, what? And he goes, yeah, we can't, you know, the shit quit going in there. I forgot what he said, like 2 months ago or something. And so we start looking like around and we see a plunger. Now, you all know or should know, you don't need a plunger in an RV because it's not like a piped system. When you sit on the toilet and crap, it drops straight into a tank. Well, mostly if you have like one bathroom, which is what we have. So I'm thinking, oh, this is not good. So they've been packing shit in this black tank for who knows how long, like 2 months apparently. And my guess is it probably went longer than that. Although I can kind of work out some scenario where it might have been 2 months. But okay, so here's the bottom line. I was so mad. I was thinking about killing this guy. Kind of. Yeah, I was really kind of thinking about killing this guy. And my wife's talking to him about all the stuff is wrong and trying to explain what they need to do with their new fifth wheel. And I'm just kind of, so I'm behind the guy and my wife's on the other side facing him and he's facing her. So he's facing away from me. And I'm giving my wife the cut it off signal, you know, slashing my throat. And, you know, because I'm like, I'm so done talking to this guy. Of course, I still didn't have the generator started, so it wasn't like we were going to go anywhere. And I walked up, so she kind of quits talking, and then I hear the guy say, the guy said, I think you're mad at me, which was a gross understatement. I walk up to the freaking generator button, hold it for 3 seconds, kick it the other way, damn generator started right up. I lifted the jacks, we closed the slides, we escorted that guy out of there, and off we went out of that park and home. And I think my wife was in tears most of the way home. She was driving her car and I was driving an RV, so I'm not really sure, but she was pretty damn upset. So we get the RV home and we're thinking, how are we going to, let's see how bad this is. So we open, now luckily I have a septic tank here at, you know, the ranch, farm, homestead, whatever you want to call it. So we open up the septic tank and we, of our septic tank, has a big steel trap on it, open that up, park the RV right over the hole, open the black tank valve. Nothing. Absolutely nothing moves. You can't even hear liquid in the black tank at all. So I'm going to surmise here what happened is when that tank, when they could no longer like flush the toilet and their poop wouldn't go down there, they were just packing it in there with that freaking plunger. You know, and here's the deal. Like, why wouldn't you say something to the owners? Like, you know, even after a week, maybe, you know, if somebody would have said, hey, we're not sure why, but the toilet quit working or we can't poop in here. You know, there's like a problem. But no, they just kept doing it. And here's what I think happened. Because the toilet sits on the floor and the sewage was in the bowl of the toilet, I think it just seeped out under that toilet and penetrated the flooring. And that's why the flooring is all saggy and soft. And anyway, so it took us literally 3 days. So from Saturday until yesterday afternoon of putting different stuff in that tank, from the toilet side, because we couldn't get any, I mean, there was no movement at the gate side, dump side, let's say. And whatever we put in there, we had to suction out with a damn wetback, because, I mean, you can't just leave that fluid sitting at that level. So anyway, so the first day we used this, the product everybody puts in their tanks called TSP, and we did a bunch of YouTube searches on how to clear out a packed black tank. And the second day we went to town and got some bacteria, some actual, you know, live enzyme bacteria. And we put that in there with a little warm water. And we let that sit for about 24 hours. And then the neighbor, who felt really bad that, you know, these people had ruined our frickin' RV, came over, and he had this device that you actually clamp on the black tank chute, and it has a little hose connection, water hose connection, and you hook up a water hose to it and then kind of back flush into the black tank. And that's what I was thinking, is we somehow have to get some liquid to the bottom of this tank to start breaking up that stuff so it will flow out. And it turns out that even after 24 hours, that that bacteria, whatever it is, that is pretty damn busy bacteria, liquefied pretty much probably two-thirds of the tank. Yeah, Grimner, they were living there. It was disgusting. Okay, so anyway, after we backflushed up the drain pipe, which I was surprised this even worked, everything started flowing out, and at least now the tank is serviceable. By what I mean by that is we can fill it and empty it with water. And I have some of that bacteria stuff in there working, for I'm going to leave it for a week. Hopefully the floor dries out enough that, you know, luckily I have a stepson and a son-in-law who are both contractors. One of them actually has rebuilt an Airstream recently, and they're going to fix the trailer because, you know, and my wife was so pissed. She was talking about suing them, you know, or taking them as small claims or whatever. I go, you know, the thing is, we're just throwing, you know, good money after no money, because there's no way we're getting anything from these people. You know, it's just one of those things that we learned from. And, you know, here's the sad thing, too. Like, I could literally, if I lost everything I had right now, I'd be fine. And trust me, I've done this. I actually lived through Hurricane Andrew, and I lost everything I had because we were right in the eye of the storm. As Hurricane Andrew crossed Florida, we were in Kendall Ridge. If you Google Kendall Ridge, you'll see that the eye of the storm passed right over Kendall Ridge and Homestead. And we literally got out of there with just a couple of bags of our goods. And I know both cars were pretty heavily damaged. One was in the garage, so it was less damaged. Luckily, the garage didn't collapse. But, I mean, and I've kind of always been that way. I don't know what it is about the way I was brought up or whatever, but, you know, my stuff, like, if you need it more than I do, I'll let you have it. I mean, I will. I love having the stuff I have, but it's not, it doesn't define me. It doesn't, you know, make me happy necessarily, or I don't think that that's going to be what, you know, happiness is all about or anything like that. So the sad thing about all of this is, you know, my wife and I have always been pretty damn generous with people we know and strangers, people we don't know. And
That kind of thing, when that happens to you, you know, it does kind of taint you. Like, it does kind of make you reconsider who you're going to be nice to in the future, I guess I'm thinking, or who you're going to be willing to help out in such an extensive way in the future. Yeah, that was pretty sad. And that's not at all what I was intending to talk about, but I wanted to kind of talk about it because it was such a thing for the last... Hey, you know what? And the funny thing is, this is not the first Memorial Day weekend that I've spent elbows deep in shit, by the way. As a matter of fact, I think last year... Nope, it was the year before last on Memorial Day weekend. Oh, it might have been last year. Doesn't matter. I was actually digging up part of our septic system because... because we're, oh God, it doesn't matter. I broke a pipe with a tractor, and it was a pipe that led to the drain field. So, yeah, we had to, so many ways for RB tank failures for newbies. God, that's no kidding. Terrible. Anyway, okay, so I'm going to move on to some other stuff now, but that was kind of the big deal for me this weekend. It was not fun. So now, basically, we're in a holding pattern. What we're going to do is let the stuff work in the tank. I don't know if you guys know this, but when you have an RV, this is one easy way to clean your shit tank. Is we go get, I don't know, in this case, we're probably going to get about 6 bags of ice. And we're going to dump them down the toilet and put a little bit of water in that tank. And then we're going to drive it for like an hour, just around a bunch of curves, you know, stop and go, you know, braking to knock all of the crap off the walls of that tank. And just give it a good cleaning, and then we'll take it to the RV dump site, because I actually don't want that bacteria in my septic system here at the homestead. A lot of people say it's not good to have that stuff in your septic system. As a matter of fact, the guys who service our septic system here on homestead said, yeah, don't use Ridex, which is also an active bacteria culture. Sorry, I had to drink. But I don't know if you guys know this. And, I mean, I'm just repeating something I heard. I'm not an expert at this at all. But, so the septic guys who've been coming out here, and actually now it's on a second generation, like the dad used to come out here, now the son comes out, you know, kind of took up dad's business. So they've been coming out here a long time. They say, and this kind of makes sense, that bacteria will form in your septic system, and it'll balance itself out. There's kind of probably a whole science behind how septic systems work. And they do work, and it's kind of amazing somebody figured that out. How did that? That might be an interesting study to do, how septic systems were ever figured out. All right, anyway, so we're going to have our septic system here at home pumped when we're done with this whole fiasco and start it over fresh. Well, not exactly fresh since we can't take it out of the ground, but anyway, hopefully that was an entertaining story, right? A great way. I hope none of you are eating dinner or anything. I didn't eat dinner yet, so I'm thinking about it or not. It's so flipping hot here in Oregon. I came home, got my ride done, kind of checked the time. It's like, oh yeah, I could still get a show done or get on the air and kind of share some time with you guys. And so here I am. Hey, okay, so this is the next thing I wanted to talk about. I was thinking about this today. I was thinking about peace and tranquility, which is kind of weird, I know. But, like, Like here on the homestead, my wife and I really kind of like peace. I mean, we like having the grandkids over and the kids over, and we like having barbecues, you know, and everybody getting together. I mean, I like that kind of stuff, and that's kind of peaceful too. But, you know, sometimes we just kick it, like in a chair, sitting outside, watching the north pasture or watching the south pasture, and we have really made a beautiful environment here. We have so many different kinds of birds. Like this year, this Merlin falcon showed up. Now, we've had falcons here for a few years, just like regular falcons. I forget what they're called, but this year, this Merlin, we noticed it because it was in the top of a dead evergreen tree right next to the hot tub. And he was just hopping from branch to branch trying to catch these other birds. And we were kind of laughing because we were thinking, oh, he's a youngster. And I'm pretty sure he was pretty young when he first showed up. But you could tell he wasn't a normal falcon like we have because he looked totally different. When they're flying, well, it's hard to describe, but if you look up Merlin falcon, you'll see. But anyway, it's kind of cool that he showed up. We have towhees, we have evening grosbeaks and regular grosbeaks, we have scrub jays, stellar jays, we have western bluebirds, we have finches, we have red-headed sapsuckers, we have doves, we have pigeons, we have starlings, martins. We have tanagers once in a while. Tanager's just a beautiful bird. Looks like that, remember that kind of missile, sherbet ice cream that was, orange and red and something else. I forget what, but anyway, and the other birds of prey that come, up here pretty often. We do have rough-legged hawks. And you guys who've listened to the past episodes of the show know that we have owls. I've got a few owls on the game cameras, which is kind of cool. But we also have bald eagles and ospreys. And they've started showing up regularly more recently. Like, we used to see them once in a while, like every couple months. But now it seems like we see them, you know, a couple days a week. They don't ever come together. That's kind of interesting. But either the ospreys will fly over for a little bit, or the bald eagles will fly over for a little bit. And, of course, we have all the scavenger birds like crows and ravens and buzzards. And we have a ton of hummingbirds. We keep those feeders going all the time. But the main thing is we have... My wife is so... She's so good at landscaping, and she was involved in the horticulture program at the federal prison, and she learned a lot, and she taught people a lot, and she just has made this place an awesome environment for all kinds of critters. Unfortunately, some we don't like, but you have to tolerate, and then a bunch that we do like. But the thing is, with like the hummingbirds and the other birds that normally frequent the place, they have, you know, pretty like natural foods to pick from. You know, a lot of wildflowers in the landscaping that my wife has done. She actually kind of did it to attract different critters at different times. I was going to say birds, but actually there's a few different bushes that attract a certain kind of butterfly, which is cool. And then the hummingbirds have lots of stuff that they can pick from. And, of course, we have bumblebees and honeybees. And we have a mason bee set up because like I was saying this weekend about the murder hornets killing all the honeybees. Not. Or maybe not. Maybe honeybees will adapt. But anyway, it's good to have mason bees around because they pollinate things too. So it's so nice to just sit and relax and enjoy the view sometimes. And just like not worry about all of the stuff that we could be worrying about. And you know, I'm always kind of keeping track of what's going on in the world, trying to prepare for whatever's coming, but sometimes we just like to sit and be quiet and just look at everything going by. Now, from my house, I'm fortunate enough, I live about 1,000 feet, and there's probably maybe 50 more feet of this hill above me. So I look a little bit to the west and a little bit to the south. I can see the coastal range. It's only about 20 miles away. And on the other side of the coastal range is the beach, which is, you know, another 15 miles. So we have an absolutely beautiful view. And most of the time, it's really peaceful. And I was just thinking, I guess, of trying to find that peace in this world that seems so flippin' crazy. Like, I bet you guys are probably, a lot of you are way more prepared than I am, because you've been preparing for a long time in a totally different way. But, you know, it's taken, I guess, hard to find peace when you're making a transition from whatever you were to something else. And I think that's where I am right now. It's like kind of dealing a little more in reality of what is going on in the world and what if there's anything I can do about it. And I think the best thing you can do is just take care of yourself. And that's where I was getting that peace and tranquility thing from, man, because, you know, I just started that new hobby, like rock crawling with the RC radio control. And you know what? Like I don't know. I guess because the speed is so low on those rock crawlers, the battery lasts a heck of a long time. And when I go out and start, like, we have this awesome fountain that the son-in-law built, and it's got three different levels to it, and he formed the rock out of a concrete fiber glass mixture, and then made it all look like real rock, you know, so it's like the perfect rock crawling medium, And, like, if I fire up the rock crawler and go out there and spend a half an hour just rock crawling the fountain, man, I don't think of anything else. Like, nothing else. And it's just peaceful and quiet. And, you know, when my wife and I sit in the hot tub, we're sitting outside. The hot tub, when I built the deck, I knew we would have a hot tub. And I knew it would be outside, and I knew it would be facing, you know, the coastal area, the facing the west. So I just left this big cutout for the hot tub, and sure enough, you know, we've had a hot tub there ever since the deck was finished. And so when we sit in the hot tub, we're just sitting there, you know, enjoying the peace and quiet and loving the view, you know, and just soaking it in. And sometimes we have awesome birds just sitting in the trees nearby, you know, singing. Like right now, there's a ton of nest building and a ton of either fighting or effing, if you know what I mean, because it's that time of year. So there's always some kind of activity out there. I noticed just this weekend while I was out. Oh, and of course, you know, here's the deal with the RB thing, not to go back that far, but I'm going back that far. Of course, we would have to deal with this thing on a weekend when it's 90 flipping degrees outside, and where we had to park the RB so it would dump into the septic system was just out on the driveway, which there's no shade out there. So it was freaking Oh, yeah. But anyway, so yeah, it was like the hottest weekend in Oregon so far this year, and we had to deal with all that stuff. Hey, see you later, Cowboy Tech. I know you'll be back. Anyway, okay, so what's the crap that I wanted to talk about? What do we have? About 13 minutes. That's awesome. Okay, one thing, short and sweet, I'm going to get off of my... out of my stack right here. Yeah, thanks, Moose Girl. It was horrible, and it was hot and stinky. Oh my God. Oh my. You know, I don't know how you, I don't know what you have to do in your brain. Like, I don't know how my brain just ignored how horrible the cleanup was going to be. Like, you know, it was so disgusting. Number one, I'm not going to go into detail like I didn't already. But at one point when the shit started flying out of there, it was just splashing everywhere. And luckily I had put like rubber sandals on and shorts and a crappy shirt so that, and I knew I was going to just get sprayed on, you know. And of course, I did. So, but I don't know how you mentally escape that. You know, like just, okay, this is going to be like horrible. But if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. And that's the bottom line. It's like... I guess it's like when your kids puke, you know, when you're the adult and your brand new kids, you know, babies are at home and they either shit all over the place or puke. It's just like, oh, well, guess what? I'm elected. I'm the one. But, okay, let's get this other crap out of here so I don't have to see it again. All right, one thing I wanted to talk about was this, what was this? Oh, is my mic making noise? I was banging it all over the place. Bill Gates and George Soros. I'm not 100% sure I talked about this in the past, but I'm going to talk about it now and be done with it. It says, according to reports, now this is old news, this is nothing new. According to reports, numerous key personalities from media, business, government are also on board with the project. And the project is the Aspen Institute Commission on Information, AICI. Has been tasked with launching an effort to eliminate misinformation and disinformation from the internet. And none other than the billionaire eugenicist Bill Gates and George Soros are funding the operation. How about that? So I don't know who put this together. I mean, I don't know who decided that we needed an Aspen Institute Commission on Information. But, George Soros and Bill Gates are pumping their money behind it full speed ahead. So what did my notes say from so long ago? So legacy media, the source of all mainstream news, air quotes, has been controlled and therefore the messages are controlled by the left. So many people went to the internet to find other sources for their information in an effort to find the truth. Well, now as you can see, Gates and Soros are going to be the ones who control information on the internet, like they haven't already, or at least parts of the internet. Reminds me so much of Fahrenheit 451, only now we need to figure out the temperature that computers burn at. So those of you who've read Fahrenheit 451 know what that's all about. Yeah, and then I had this really sad statement in here that I've always believed this. You know, I don't know how long ago we started talking about hate speech and then how somehow we started making hate speech illegal, which is really unfortunate because hate is an emotion and hate speech is protected speech. Especially since hate is being defined and redefined constantly and usually by politicians, which is not good. Okay, so that's a Soros story. Hey, did you guys ever... Have you guys ever seen this report scenario called the SPARS pandemic? 2025 to 2028. I have a feeling that that Clyde Lewis talked about it. I'm almost sure, although I'm not 100% sure. And I just kind of came across that, and I went and found the scenario myself, the report on the scenario, and read it. And it's a little bit mind-blowing, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit on Saturday. On Saturday. By the way, I'm doing the free dental service on Saturday again in Willamina, Oregon. But I got back last time in time to do the show, and usually we finish around 12 or 1, so it shouldn't be a problem, and I already have these show notes we can go off. Hey, so last thing I'm going to talk about is this. You notice, like, we are going to be suffering. This is the weirdest thing. So one of the local guys that I listen to on the radio, I love listening to, actually, you know, I love listening to podcasts. I love listening to different personalities. I love listening to radio because it's still free and there's still some people on there who are pretty damn good. Hang on, drink time. This round's on me. Okay. So this one guy was talking about that in the next year, within a year in Oregon, 15 months I think he said, there's some agency that's responsible for figuring out how much power the state's going to need. They say in 15 months, there's going to be a 1 in 3 chance that we have a brownout or a blackout. And I was thinking to myself, why all of a sudden would we be in this position where we're going to have brownouts or blackouts? You know, California's been doing that for a long time, or a while, years anyway. And so I started thinking, you know, well, that's really crazy because we're going to be out of power, but there's actually no shortage of power. What they actually do is they actually eliminate sources of power, like coal-fired power plants or natural gas-powered power plants, which is what they're trying to do here in the Northwest, excuse me. So basically what they do is eliminate sources of power and then say that there's a shortage of power. There's no shortage of power. There's tons of freaking ways to make power. But the only way, I guess, to get everybody on this ridiculous bandwagon of, you know, solar power or wind power, and trust me, I actually would like to have a little bit of wind power up here, because we do get pretty regular winds up here. I think we could actually make wind power not work because you can't create enough power to power an entire whatever. But it would be nice to have some extra power that we're not buying from somebody. But you know what? Everything that you need to create power is going to take power to create. You know, the solar panels, and I talked about this before, they're made from quartz and coal, a mixture of the two. Well, if, you know, they talk about running out of fossil fuel now, and yet they're depending on fossil fuel to make those, probably photoreceptor or something, or the panel. I don't know what they make with it, but it's an important component of solar panels, and they still, you know, so this is what I'm thinking. So they think quartz is going to last forever, but that's probably what they thought of when they ran into, you know, fossil fuel. And it's only a matter of time before they start controlling the quartz and, quartz production, which they probably already do anyway. So I don't want to go too long, so I'm going to wrap things up pretty quickly because, Ground Zero is coming on. We love Ground Zero. Okay, so the other thing I was going to talk about was, like, we had the loss of fuel because of a hack. And, of course, the government said that they're not, You know, they're not savvy enough to stop, you know, internet hacks, because we just don't have the capabilities of doing that. All these highly paid IT people that work for the government and have great benefits apparently, you know, don't know how to stop hackers, which that's awesome. And then also, you know, lumber, it's just another example of cutting off some needed resource, fuel, and then, you know, somehow limiting our ability to get it. Same right now with lumber. Any of you who've looked at lumber lately knows it is skyrocketing. And, you know, Biden the other day put a tariff, 200% tariff on Canadian trees or lumber products, which is going to jack that price up even more. It's not that there's a shortage of these resources. It's that the federal government is interfering with getting these resources to people. They're purposefully limiting. They're purposefully limiting the availability of these resources, and they're going to make it harder and harder for you to just live a normal life, unless you're prepared to do that, unless you've taken the steps to be able to live somewhat off the grid, not dependent on fossil fuel, not dependent on somebody else, you know, delivering your power or water or food. You know, and it's all artificial. None of it is real shortages of resources, which is kind of scary. Anyway, it looks like we're close to being done. Let's see. What shall we do now? I want to thank you guys. Hey, great show, Grimner and Moose Girl. That was an awesome show you guys did just Thursday. That was fantastic. Also, American Dissonance, I think, finished up. That was fantastic. And let's put this on and go out with this. Talk to you guys on Saturday. Thanks so much.